Okay, good morning, everyone. I apologize, we have a little bit of a late start because of the bris, so we'll move a little bit quicker than usual so that we can get through the material so that people can make it to all the different obligations they have on a Sunday in June. All right? No interruptions. Okay, so we are at the two dots, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom to none. So the Mishnah said, Mashilim peros derech aruba b'yom tov. The Mishnah said you are allowed to, with a rope, kind of lower down fruit, right? You're allowed to lower down fruit through a hole from the roof. The fruit sitting on the roof, and you are mishiyeh shalchitim v'se'orim shtuchen al gagol l'siyavesh. It's supposed to be drying there, or produce, more accurately. V'ro gesham shamshim imashmashin, and you're worried about rain. So through a skylight, you want to go ahead and lower the grain, the produce, through the roof. So this is not such a yantif tikka thing to do. This is like a tircha to do. So really, you shouldn't be doing this on yantif. But we're mekel, you could do it on yantif if you have fruit that you're really worried about. About lo b'shabbos, but not on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. It's not. Mashilim peros derech aruba b'yom tov. So you could do this ad kama. How much can you do? So let's say you're a factory worker and you have hundreds and hundreds of cases of produce on that roof. It's a limitless amount that you could lower down. So Amar Rabbi Zera, says Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, but Amri lo, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Some says Rabbi Asi in the name of Yochanan. Ke'os shishaninu. We take the amount from another source that we already learned. With regards to Shabbos, with regards to Shabbos, we are told that a person is allowed to go ahead and move about 4 or 5 boxes of grain or straw for the purpose of making space for orchim, or because there isn't enough space for people to learn. So you're allowed to move those things, even though those things have no purpose on Shabbos. The Dilma Shani Hasa, not that they have no purpose on Shabbos, even though that's a Tircha Yisera, that's not something that should really be doing on Shabbos. The Dilma, so the Gemara presumes, let's use that amount. So the amount should be 4 or 5. The Dilma Shani Hasa, so the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe that case is different. The Iko Bito Beis HaMedrash, because there's a purpose to moving this. The purpose to moving it is to make space to learn. But without aval hacha, but over here, the leka bitul beis hamedrash, but over here, we don't have opportunity to learn. I apologize, they were using the beis hamedrash for the mother of the baby. So, I just went in there a second ago.
There's nobody there.
I know, I just...
No questions.
Okay. All right. Okay, the Mishnah said that you can't be matriach yourself to move you on yontif, but not on Shabbos. You can be matriach to move produce down from a roof through a skylight, and the Gemara wants to know this allowance on Yontif, how much can you move? So the Gemara brought a proof from a source that talks about Shabbos that says that if you need space for the Beis HaMedrash or you need space for Orchim, that you're allowed to move 4 or 5 boxes. So let that be the amount. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Shani Hasam Diko Bito Beis HaMedrash, Sheval Hachod Aleko Bito Beis HaMedrash. There was a compelling reason, because if you didn't move the stuff, there'd be nowhere to learn. The Beis HaMedrash is stacked with boxes, so you can move 4 boxes or 5 boxes so people can learn. Over here, you're just worried about your stuff. So maybe that's not a good enough reason to do Tircha Yisera on Yontif. Maybe maybe the amount should be less than that. Obviously, it's something, because the Mishnah said you can do it, but maybe it shouldn't be up to 4 or 5 boxes. Inami, or another reason to distinguish between these two scenarios, Hasam Hainu Taima, there the reason is, the Arba V'Chamish Kupos Shari, why is 4 or 5 Mutter, Mishum Shabbos Techamira, below Asi Lezuzle Bey, since Shabbos is so machmir, so we'll let you do 4 or 5, because we're not worried that that's going to lead to more. Aval yontif to kill, but yontif, we're already, everybody there, every time someone asks you a hilchos yontif shalat, the first thing they say is, after all, it's yontif, you know, it's just yontif, right? Yontif that people already know, you can cook, you can carry, so we already know that there's more you can do, so maybe you'll come, also lezuzlebe, you'll come to do more, so therefore, maybe, maybe you shouldn't be able to do anything at all. Maybe you really shouldn't. There should be a limit completely. Then the Gemara says, not only that, but even if you wanted to use this source in the opposite direction, you could use it as well. Inami l'idach kisa. You could also say from the other side. Hasamainu taima. What's the reason why in the source regarding Shabbos that we allow you to move 4 or 5? Deleka hefsid mamon. There's no hefsid mamon there. So we only allow you to move 4 or 5. After all, nothing's going to get lost. But here, the ikah hefsid mamon. Here, chasa mamonim shel Yisrael. We don't want you to have a major loss because of yontif. What a terrible thing. So here, maybe we'll let you off filu tuvinami. You should be allowed to move more. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. It's not clear exactly what the amount should be. Not clear. Hasam tanan. Then the Gemara says that Mishnah that we quoted over there, with regards to Shabbos, it has another statement. And now we want to know if that statement is applicable to our context as well. Because the Mishnah said, Avaloesa Otzer makes a statement, yes, you can move these 4 or 5 boxes, but you can't move the Otzer. Can't move the storage area. What does that mean? V'amar Shmuel, my Avaloesa Otzer. What does it mean you can't move the storage area? Avalo Yigmar Esa Otzer Kulo. You cannot fully clear it out. Meaning you cannot fully clear it out, even if it's less than 4 or 5 boxes. So if, let's say, 3 boxes are covering the entire area, and by clearing out all 3, you will leave the entire floor of this area exposed. So that's usur. Why is that usur? Dilma usur lashvuyeh gumos. Because it could be, remember, they had dirt floors. And by moving all these boxes, you will see that there are dips in the floor, right? And you'll come to fill in those dips. So you shouldn't clear out the area. You think about that. It's pretty true, right? When you clear out a whole area, that's when you start to see all of the different details that are, you know, an issue with the different area, and you'll come to repair it. So hachamai, so what's the din here on our roof? Are you allowed to move are you allowed to clear out the whole roof if it's not a tircha yisera? So says the Gemara, Hasam hu b'Shabbos aser. Why is it aser on Shabbos over there? Mishum dechamir, because Shabbos is very machmir. About Yontov to kill, but Yomtiv, already we have kulos, we have precedent to be a little more understanding on Yomtiv, Shapir dami, maybe it's mutter, and you don't have to worry. So Loas Otzer is only a qualification with respect to Shabbos, but not with respect to Yomtiv. Oh, Dilmor, maybe Hasam over there, the Iko Bitol Beis HaMedrash. Over there, because of Bitol Beis HaMedrash, Amar Talo. There you say, because of Bitul Beis HaMedrash, you don't allow them to clear out the whole Otzer, even though there was a very compelling reason to do so. Halacha here, that we don't even have that compelling reason to do so. The lack of Bitul Beis HaMedrash, lo kol shekein, certainly you shouldn't be able to clear it out. So we're not sure. So the Gemara leaves that unresolved. V'hacha tnan. Now the Gemara discusses something that we learned in our Mishnah, and whether or not it would apply in the Shabbos context. What is that? We learned Mashilim Peres Derech Haruba B'Yomtiv, that you're allowed to lower fruit, you're allowed to lower peros through the skylight on Yomtiv. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'Oso Agag. That is only true from that roof. Aval Migag LeGag, but you cannot move it from roof to roof. If homes are very close to each other and you could jump, you know, from roof to roof. So you can't move this stuff from roof to roof. Why would you want to do that? Because maybe there's no skylight on one roof. There is a skylight on another roof. So you want to go from roof to roof. You want to go from roof to roof.
There's a covering on the other roof.
The what?
Well, there might be a covering on the other
roof. Maybe there's a covering on the other roof. We'll get to also the coverings. Yeah. So what's the story? So Vitanya Nami Hachi. So we learned in a Braisa. So the question is, so does that apply to Shabbos? We learned in a braisa, you can't move from one roof to another. Even if the roofs are of equal height, so in other words, if the roofs are of different height, then it takes it's a lot of effort. So there, maybe for sure it would be usur. You can't even do it if the roofs are on the same height. This is too much to be doing on Yontif. So hasamai, what's the reason over there? So the Gemara says, So what's the reason? So hachahu de aser mishum yom tov de kil the asal is uzlebe. So maybe it's only aser by us in the case of yantif, because yantif is already mekel and you'll end up being mezalzalit about Shabbos. But Shabbos the chamira, that's already more machmir v'lo asal is uzleba shapir dami, and therefore you could do it because Shabbos more machmir. You're not going to end up violating Shabbos odilma, or maybe no ma hacha. Since here, the Ika Hefsid Peros, you have a Hefsid Peros Amarta Lo, we don't allow you to do this, even though it's going to cost you all of this produce on top of the roof. Hasam over there, the lack of hafsid peros, lo kol shegein. Certainly over there we wouldn't let you do it, where there's not even a hafsid. So the Gemara says, unresolved. Hacha, over here, another din. Lo yishal shalom bechevel bechalonos. So some roofs used to have walls around the roof, and there would be windows on the walls. Velo yardim, so you can't lower the bucket through those windows. Velo yardim derech sulamos, or through ladders. Hasamai, so what would be the din by Shabbos? So hasamai, what's the reason by yantiv? Hacha by yom tov. Hasamai, what's the din by Shabbos? Over there. Hacha, over here by yantiv, who the aser, the reason it's aser is the lek of bitol beis hamedrash. There's no bitol beis hamedrash, so there's no compelling reason. So it's aser about Shabbos to eat a bitol beis hamedrash. Maybe shapir dami, you can do it. No dilmor, maybe no. Hacha over here, the ikah hefsed peros. Over here you have a hefsed peros. Amarta lod, you said no. Hasam over there, the lekah hefsed peros, a kol shekein. So for sure it would be no. So teiku. All these shailas remain by the Gemara unresolved, and we're not sure exactly, or the Gemara says we have to fall short of being able to draw analogies between Yom Tov and Shabbos back and forth in setting precedence, and each context really has to be determined. What are the parameters and nature of those halachos on their own? So now the Mishnah told us that one of the things we can do on Yom Tov is we could go ahead as mechasen the peros pekelim. That if we're worried about dripping, we could go ahead and cover our peros with kalim. And the Mishnah then said, "V'chein kadei yayin v'kadei shemen." And you're allowed to also cover jars of wine and jars of oil. V'noslim kli tachas adlaf b'Shabbos. You ought to put a vessel under a drip on Shabbos. So Amar Ula. Okay, so here we go. We have a very interesting machlokas. So the Gemara said, you're allowed to be mechasen es haperos. So Amar Ula, Ula said, la'afilu avira delivni. This doesn't just refer to peros, which are not muksa. They have a use on Shabbos, or just our only concern is tircha, right? But it also refers to rows of bricks. So you're building a building, and I'm sure this happens, and you didn't anticipate rain on Shabbos, and there are very important materials up on that roof that if they're not covered, you'll lose them. So, can you cover those materials?
Bricks
so, Ula said,
in the sun.
"Bricks what
used to be baked in the sun."
That's a good thing or a bad thing?
That's the way that they process bricks today. They're baked in an oven, but they used to be left out
and baked in the sun.
Baked in
so
the
maybe
sun.
So if they're not fully done,
if they get wet before they're fully done,
could ruin them.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Good. So Amar Ulava, Fila Avira Delivni, even the bricks would be okay. Now, why would they be okay? Because after all, we all know that the Isser of Muksa is an Isser of Tiltol. You're not allowed to move Muksa. Here, I'm not moving anything. I'm just covering it over. So what could be the problem? That's what Ula says. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, you can't do that. Amar Peros HaRa'uyin. It only can be Peros. So we're all thinking, well, what's the problem? So, va'azda Rabbi Yitzchak l'tamei. Rabbi Yitzchak goes according to his reason. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Ein kli nital ela l'dover hanital b'Shabbos." Part of the gzeira of muksa. So we generally relate to because, like, we raise our kids. That's muksa. Really, the question is, all kalim that we look at, are they permissible or not permissible to use on Shabbos? So, if a kalim has a certain utility to it on Shabbos, we're permitted to use it. If that kli does not have a utility to us on Shabbos, we're not permitted to use it. If the function that you're using the kli for is in order to service an item that's not permitted on Shabbos, then the problem isn't with that item. The problem is even using the non-muksa item, because that's not acceptable. So you have a blanket sitting on this table, right? So blankets are mutter. Blankets not muksa. You can go ahead and you can move the blanket. So people think the blanket's not muksa, so you could use it for anything. No, you could use the blanket for any purpose that you need for on Shabbos. You can use the blanket to be warm. You could use the blanket to roll out something on the floor that you need to do. But let's say I want to use that blanket to cover a car. You cannot use that blanket to cover a car. Not because the car is muksa, but since the car is muksa, the movement of the blanket is in service of something that is not designated for Shabbos. And the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak is, you are not allowed to go ahead and use it for that purpose, right? I'm sure we have all had the experience, some of us as recently as yesterday, of not turning off our alarm, right? And the alarm goes off on Shabbos morning. What's the first reaction everybody has? So, not push it to move the clock, right? What are you moving the clock for, right? It's not like Tzarech Gufo. It's not Tzarech Makomo. The first, you want to be careful not to hit the snooze button. The first reaction is cover the clock, right? So this is the question. Can you move the blanket even to cover the clock? You're servicing the clock. Now, that's already a separate question. Maybe that's not, you're not really guarding the clock. You're trying to do what? You're trying to save your marriage. Right? That's mutter on Shabbos. So maybe that is mutter. Maybe that is okay. But this is the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. This is the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Oh, we'll get there. That depends on the different categories of muksa. Nito el dover anito b'Shabbos. So tznan. So therefore, you can't cover the bricks. This is the machlokas. So keep this in our head. Ula says you can cover the bricks. Rabbi Yitzchak says you cannot cover the bricks. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Mechasen es aperos b'keilim. So our Mishnah said, what's our Mishnah's example of what you are permitted to cover on Shabbos? Our Mishnah's example is peros, is fruit. Now we know that Mishnayos always speak in the greatest chiddush possible, right? So if the Mishnah says, if the Mishnah's illustration of being allowed to cover something is peros, so the Gemara says, peros in avira divlivni lo. So obviously peros are in, literally, peros you can cover, but bricks, you cannot cover. Whose opinion does that follow? That's a kasha on Ula, right? Ula said you can cover it. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Lo, hu adin dafil arivil delivni. Really, you can cover the bricks also. Our Mishnah used peros as an example? No. The reason why the Mishnah used peros as an example is not to teach you the chiddush of a din, it's to have a parallelism in the language. Because we know the Mishnahs are constructed in such a way that they will facilitate memory. So very often, sometimes the language is formulated in a way that maintains consistency, even if that is at the expense of, you know, teaching the most mechudish dikdin. So the Gemara says, "I did the Tana Reisha Meshulim Peros." Since the Reisha of the Mishnah was talking about a case of Peros, right? Because everybody would agree you can't move the bricks down through the skylight. They're muksa. So therefore, Tana Seifa Nami Mechasen Es Peros. So the Seifa also, the Mishnah used Peros. So therefore, the fact that the Mishnah used Peros as an example cannot be a proof to Ula that the bricks are not okay. I'm sorry. Ula said the bricks are okay. Ula said the bricks are okay. So the Gemara wanted to bring I don't know if I said that right. The Gemara wanted to say, Mechasen es haperos, peros in, avira delivni lo. That's a kasha on Ula. It sounds like the bricks are no good. So the Gemara says, no, the bricks are really good. Like Ula. The Mishnah, used peros as an example. The Mishnah was just being consistent with the Reisha. Okay? Now the Gemara says, hold on, tonight we also learned in that Mishnah, that the same is true about barrels of wine and barrels of oil. So what does that mean? So now the Mishnah is using examples of food that's not muksa, that have nothing to do with the parallelism into the ratio of the Mishnah. So if you don't want to learn from the Mishnah's example of peros, that it's peros in, but the bricks, no, against Ula. If you don't want to learn it from there, learn it from here. Because clearly, it's yayin and shemen, yes, and things that are muksa, no. Because the Gemara had no other reason to bring up yayin and shemen. The Gemara says, no, achmayas kinon bitivla. The Gemara says the Mishnah is not talking about a case of general yayin and shemen. It's talking about a case of tevel. Tevel means they have not had trumas and maestros taken from them. Which, as we learned, you can't do any yantif. So, can't take. So they're tevel. If they're tevel, that means they have no purpose. If they have no purpose, that means they're forbidden as it is. So that's not a kasha. If anything, that's a right. Right. In other words, in any case of tevel, you're allowed to cover it. You're allowed to cover it. That sounds exactly like ula. So no more kasha on ula. Hachanami mistabra. It's even mistabir. It's even logical to assert this. The Gemara has to buttress this qualification, because it sounds a little too convenient, right? The Mishnah said nothing about Tevel, right? And all of a sudden, just because we have this Machlokas and it seems like it's a Raya to one other than the other, all of a sudden now the Mishnah is talking about Tevel? Like, yeah, where'd that come from? So the Gemara says, Mistabra, it's Mistabir. Why is it compelling? If you think it was wine and oil of Etera, we already learned food that's a Tera. So if we already learned if we already learned peiros, it must be the shemen and the yayin have come to tell us something else. It must be they're a type of peiros that are really usur. What type of peiros are really usur? Tebel. If tebel if tebel is permitted to cover, so then even though it's usur to use, has no purpose, so then sell two of the bricks. So the Gemara says, no, kadei yayin and kadei shemen yistur chalei. Maybe there's a reason why kadei shemen and kadei yayin were included, even though they're not necessarily tevel. So kadei to chamin, I might have thought, lehefsed meruba choshu, lehefsed muad lo choshu. That this dispensation is only for a hefsed meruba, but like grain, which I guess is a very big hefsed meruba, but a couple bottles of wine and oil, that's not such a hefsed meruba, maybe not. Kamash melon, the Mishnah teaches us that the din applies to them as well. So since it is conceivably possible that shemen and the yayin have a reason why they were included other than them being tevel, it's possible that they were not tevel, even, and there's a reason why they're there. So they're not tevel. So if they're not tevel, so then that teaches you that only things that are mutter you're permitted to cover. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, nosin kli tachas adlaf b'Shabbos, you could put a kli under like a leek on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tachas adlaf b'Shabbos, b'dlaf haro'i. So the first the Mishnah says you could put the kli under the dlaf b'Shabbos. That sounds like you're catching something that has absolutely no purpose, right? In other words, you're allowed to move the kli to service the leak. And what are you going to do with that water, right? So the Gemara says no, b'dlaf haro'i. So different kinds of leaks, right? I don't know, like some leaky water is completely not usable at all. And in case that would be the truth, that would be true. Some you could use for animals, right? Some you could use for animals. So, but laugh a roi. So if it's a leak that's roi, so then that doesn't prove anything. Toshma, come and learn the following. Parson machletzes, machatzeles, al gabe levonim b'Shabbos. That you can go ahead and you could spread out on... we have a brisa that says you can spread out a blanket on bricks on Shabbos. So that sounds like it's mutter, right? The Isor Mivinyano. So the Gemara says, no, these are left over from the building. The Chazi Lemizga Alayu, that they can be used to sit on them. So they have functionality. They have functionality, they're not muksa. So that doesn't prove anything, the fact that you can cover them. Toshma, we learned, Parsin Machzelis Agabe Avonim B'Shabbos. You could spread out something on top of stones on Shabbos. Stones aren't usable, so that proves that you can go ahead and you can do it. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Bavonim mikurazolos. These are special types of sharp stones, the chazin and lebes akise, that was used for the process of cleansing oneself in some way when one is using the bathroom, so they have a purpose, so they're not mukso. Toshma, parsin machzelas agabi karis tevorim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread out a covering over a beehive on Shabbos. Bechama, in the chama, in the sun, ibnei chama, because the sun. Begashamim, in the rainy season, ibnei agashamim, because of the rain, which both can potentially ruin the beehive. Ubevad shalei iskavin lotzun. As long as your kavana was not to go ahead and trap the bees. So the Gemara, so what does it sound like? It sounds like you have something that's totally useless. What possible use does this beehive have for you on Shabbos? And yet you're allowed to cover it. So it sounds like that's mutter, right? So the Gemara says, "Hasam nami." They're also no the ikadvash. There's some honey. So it is usable. Amar le Ravukva mimeshin lo Ravashi. So Ravukva mishan says to Ravashi, "Hotenech b'yomasachama." That's only true in yomasachama the ikadvash that there is honey there. B'yomasachashamim in the rainy season, ma'ikal. Remember what you're going to say? I guess there's no honey. The honey is done. It's already removed. And now it's in a different state. So the Gemara says, what are you going to say there? It sounds like there it has no purpose. If it has no purpose yet, you're allowed to cover it, right? So the Gemara says, lo nitzricha el oson shtei chalos. There are two honeycombs that are left in the hive, even after they're done making the honey and they're done extracting the honey. And that's the purpose. So the Gemara says, oson shtei chalos muktzos, saying that these are muktzos. The Gemara says, no, achmai askinen shechashav aleim. You had machshava, you had intent to go ahead and use the honeycombs. But if you didn't have a tent, my, what would be the din? Usur, that it's usur.
Are you allowed to take honey out of the actual hive on Shabbos?
No, not necessarily. What he's talking about is covering over the hive.
Right. But we say because the
You'd be allowed. I guess you'd be. Yeah, I guess.
Why is it winter?
Right. I guess you would. I guess if I guess, like I don't saying, know what you really.
It's like saying if there's a fruit on a tree, so it's still attached to the tree, I can right. cover it.
Why isn't it tollish to take? How is a honeycomb in a hive? I don't really know. When I hear honeycomb, I think of. The cereal. Right. I'm having trouble visualizing.
Bees naturally.
We have to get, what's his name here? Shulman. He has beehives.
Bees naturally make their own honeycombs.
Right.
The honeycombs themselves,
right.
without doing anything, are edible.
They're edible.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But what are they? There's the hive. And right. then there's inside, there's this thing called a honeycomb. And how do you get it out? How do you.
You used to.
Amiel's asking, is it like pulling a fruit off a tree?
Cut it out.
No, it used to
be. But if it's attached, I remember, then you can't take
is it attached? Is it or is it like a piece of pineapple that's
it's
attached?
It's like a piece of pineapple. You can just
slice
cut,
it off.
Cut it and take it out.
You used to be able to get a plastic container, and inside was honey in the honeycomb. It was like a waxy kind of a thing with little
right?
holes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the hive is not attached. It's not mechuber. It's not attached to the ground.
Okay.
Right, so
and there's no problem with sweetening. Yeah. Like
sounds
it
like there should be, right?
Squeeze out the liquid from the
honeycomb. Is that what you do with the honeycomb? You squeeze out the honey, or
the
you eat it?
The honeycomb is edible.
Eat it without.
You eat the comb.
You can eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, my daughter came home every Rosh Hashanah. Her boss gave everybody
a honeycomb.
Honeycombs.
All right, we're gonna have to maybe at the Seum. We will have eggs and honeycombs. So
and bricks.
So the Gemara and bricks for David.
And wine and oil we can have.
So and wine and oil. Very well. It's a dry scene.
Unprocessed. Yeah.
So shtei chalas. Also shtei chalas muktzosin. How come I skin shechashu aleim? Have a lo chashu aleim. My that would be aser. So the tani. So the Gemara says, and that we learned the bevachla yiskavein lotzud. So the Gemara says, there's a qualification at the end of this. And that is that, as long as you don't have intent to trap the bees. So the Gemara says, why are you qualifying with factors that are less relevant than the core factor itself, which is whether or not you've ascribed intent to utilize this item, rendering it no longer muksa, when you really should be bringing up that qualification? You understand? So the Gemara says, "V'listen b'didei." The Gemara, what the Mishnah should have said was, "Ba'medvar ma'murim shechashav aleim, aval lo chashav aleim aser." Right. The only time this is mutter to cover it over is if you had intent to take out the honeycomb. But if you're not chashav aleim, take out the honeycomb, then its standard is its muksa. That should have been the qualification. What are you worried about? Trapping bees? Not trapping bees? So the Gemara says, "No. Enechanami hachi kamar afa pi shechashav aleim." What the Mishnah wanted to tell you is, no. Even if you add intent not to make it muksa, you're a choshev aleim, you're going to eat the honeycomb, still, b'vachlo yiskavin latzun. That only works if you don't have kavana to trap it. So now the Gemara says, hold on, b'mayu kimta, what opinion is this Mishnah following? So we remember from the very beginning of the Masechta, there was like machlokas tanoim about muksa, right? Is there muksa? Is there not muksa? And Rabbi Shimon, if you remember, very beginning, Daf Beis, was the of the opinion, a very limited, narrow opinion of the existence of muksa. So the Gemara says, we have a problem here, because it sounds like this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because this thing's muksa to begin with, right? Unless you makatze, the islay muksa, who holds a muksa. However, ema seifa, the seifa of this Mishnah, b'vachli yiskavin latzun, seifa the Mishnah says that you're allowed to basically put this cover over as long as you don't have kavana to go ahead and trap them. Meaning, even though you're doing something that's going to ultimately and inevitably have the result of trapping, if you don't have kavana to do that, it's mutter. Right? That's what the Mishnah seems to say. So, Asyon l'Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Davashen Miskavin Mutter. Whose opinion is that? That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. That a davar she'eino miskaving, that doing an action on Shabbos that has an inevitable outcome, but that is not of your intent, a davar she'eino miskaving, right? That is mutter. So the Gemara says, it sounds like you're splitting, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. So then the Gemara says, no, because even Rabbi Shimon in this case would say this is a problem. Why? Because we know, v'tizber de Rabbi Shimon, v'ha'abaya v'rava, de amritar vayu, mod Rabbi Shimon, v'sikresha de lo yamus. that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that when you have a davar shenei miskaven, that's what's called a psik resha. Davar shenei miskaven means you do an action, right? And the outcome is not the intent, is not your intent of the action. That's a davar shenei miskaven. However, it's only mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, if that outcome, if that outcome is not inevitable, even if it's highly probable. If it is absolutely going to happen, 100%, then according to Rabbi Shimon, it's usher as well. And there's a lot of lumdus why that would be true. Is that because of something that's something's inevitable, it redefines your kavana? Is that because it's on its own melechus makshavas? Whatever the reason is, that's called a psik resha. Psik resha means that I'm a little kid, and I want to play on Shabbos afternoon. So I was kicked out of the shul, so I can no longer destroy the walls of the shul, right? Because somebody didn't let me do that. So now I have nothing to do. So I see a chicken crossing the road to get to the other side. So I grab the chicken, and I want to cut off its head in order to play soccer with the chicken head. And this is what kids did for fun in Babylonia, right? So this was their Facebook, right? So this was their outlet.
Angry Birds.
Right, Angry Birds. Mamish, literally Angry Birds. Mamish, right? So this is what they did. So your kavana is not to kill the chicken. Your kavana is to get the head to play with. So is that mutter? Is that usur? So even Rabbi Shimon, who says the davar shenei miskaven is mutter, would say that that's usur, right? Because psik resha velo yamos, it's actually a question, right? When you cut off the head of something, it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So if something is so inevitable that it definitely, definitely, definitely will happen, even if it's a davar shenei miskaven, you're not permitted to do it according to Rabbi Shimon. So you can't start setting up this Mishnah as a case where Rabbi Shimon's being where Rabbi Shimon's being ignored in the Reisha and embraced in the Seifa, because Rabbi Shimon is not consistent with this Seifa also. So the Gemara says, no. Kula Rabbi Yehudahi. This whole thing is Rabbi Yehuda. The Hachamayaskinon, what are we dealing with here? The Isbeik Avi. There are holes or windows or the bees could still get out. So the Lo Tamal Rabbi Yehuda. So, and don't say that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda Belad Shalo Yiskavin Latsud, right? Because then it has nothing to do with Kavana, it has to just do with the reality. Ela Emo Bavad Shalo Yasena Mitsuda. In other words, the qualification is you're allowed to cover this thing, right? You're allowed to cover this thing, provided that, well, you can follow Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to cover this thing. There's Muksa. Oh, you had intent. Even though you had intent, you can't cover it in such a way that you cover all of the escape routes so that the animal cannot get out at all. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's Pashit. Of course you can't do that. Why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that I can't trap animals? You know, another Mishnah. That's one of the 39 Melachas. So the Gemara says, nope, maybe bees weren't included. Ma'u detayim, I might have thought, b'mino natsud asur, shalob b'mino natsud mutter. I might have thought that trapping animals, so the Din D'oraisa, trapping animals is only asur, with animals that are normally trapped. But to trap an animal that's not normally trapped, that's not necessarily usur. And bees are not, I guess, not necessarily trapped, so to speak. They're just attracted to, you know, these hives and flowers and all those things. It's not something people don't go out bee hunting. So, mutter, kamash malon, that we have this din, that ma'u detim rashi es shederech latzud is b'nei mino k'kon chayev of usur. That we have this Isidur Rabbanan. And this, we're not going to get into it right now because we're a little running late, but this comes up, right? If you want to close a door, there's a bee in the room, right? You don't want it to get in the rest of the house. Can you close the door? Are you trapping the bee? You're not trapping the bee. Can you trap the bee? Can you not trap the bee? What if that's not even your kavana? What if you just want to close the door of your house? There's a fly running around your house. So long as the door is open, the fly can get out. Are you allowed to close the door? Is that, and you're trapping the bee in the house? Allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. That's a whole discussion. So, Rav Ashi Amar Miktoni Bimosa Chamo Bimosa Geshamim Bichamo Bimnei Chamo Geshamim Bnei Geshamim. So Rav Ashi returns to the question of, doesn't say in the days of Chamo and in the days of Geshamim. It sounds like with the Chamo and with the Geshamim. Bnei Geshamim Tani Biyomei Nisan Biyomei Tishrei. Like in the days of Nisan and days of Tishrei, the Ika Chamo and the Ika Geshamim, the Ika Devash. So his way of solving this is that. Our whole problem here with the whole thing that led to this with the honeycombs was the assumption that there's no dvash in that hive. It says, no, there is dvash in the hive. You said you're doing it b'mos ha-geshamim when there's no dvash. It didn't mean in the winter with this mamish, no. It meant in the times of the year where it's more likely and less likely to have geshem, even though there's still honey at those times. And so that removes that that issue. No, some kli tachas alav b'Shabbos, so you're allowed to put a kli under a leek on Shabbos. Tana, we learned im nismali a kli. If the, what happens if the kli fills up? Shovik v'shona ve'eno nimno. You're allowed to spill it out and put it back. Whole day. The mill of Abaye, mills used to be made with stones that could deteriorate with the presence of water, clay or whatever. So Dolof, so it was, there was a leak on it. Also came to Rabba. So Abaye came to Rabba, his Rebbe, and he asked the Shiloh, he said, what do I do? So Amar Leh, he said, Zil Alaye, this was his Eitzah, go up to your mill, Lifurech, bring your bed to the area where the mill is. Lahasam, over there. To Lahavi Kigraf Shorei. And then what'll happen is the mill that's getting wet, now it's like garbage. It's disgusting. And you're allowed to, as we know, in the Hilchos Muksa, you're allowed to remove something that's disgusting from your environment on Shabbos. So essentially this is what we call a haroma, right? In other words, really the mill is not bothering anybody. He's basically saying, create a situation where it is bothering somebody, right? Take the bed to the thing, and this was his etza. So the afke. So Yosef Abaye, but kokoshile. So Abaye is he's a shtark yeshiva bacher, and even though the pulpit rabbi told him it's mutter, Abaye knows better, right? Abaye says, I don't know. Is that really mutter? I once saw a thumping of this or that. My shana ber rabbi. V'chios and graf shorei lechachila. Are you really allowed to create a scenario where you have Grasho Rei Lecharchila? Is that really mutter? I don't know. This, what's going on with Rab over here? So he says, Adahachi, while Abaye was being choker, all his chakiris, nofal berecha, his entire mill fell down. Okay? So, da Abaye. Omar, so he said, Tesili da Avri Admar. This happened to me because I didn't follow the psak of my Rebbe. And I had to challenge him. Okay, that Gemara is, we have to think about that Gemara more. Amar Shmuel, says Shmuel, Grab Shorei, when you have this kind of garbage, the Ovid Shal Meme Raglaim, so literally Grab Shorei means excrement, and you have a container of Me Raglaim, container that holds urine. Mutalo Tzian La'ashba, you're allowed to take them out of the house and throw them in the garbage, right? Could flush the toilet, even though you're sending it out of the house. Right? Anybody ever think of that? There's no Eruv, there's no, you know, that's not a problem. Because Shu Mach Zero, and when you bring it back, no Simbo Mayim. What do you do? So you need it back in the house now, right? But now it's empty. So what heter is there to then bring it back? Isn't this thing Moksa? It's not, it's disgusting, right? So you put a little bit of water in that you assume is at least edible to animals, and you bring it back into the house. Mach Zero. Sovereign Mine, Graf Shorei, Agav mona in bifnei atzmo lo. So it sounds like he says from this din, it sounds like you're allowed to move the containers that hold the excrement, but you're not allowed to move the excrement itself, the garbage itself. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true, because toshma ahu ach barosa. There was a mouse, the ashtichach bei asparmaki, the Ravashi, that was found among the spices of Ravashi. Amar lehu Ravashi, Ravashi said, Nokta bitsubsei v'afkue, that you can grab it by its tail and you can get it out, because that's disgusting. Okay, we once lost a hamster on Shabbos. Kol shechayav in Allah mishum shvus, mishum reshus, mishum mitzvah b'Shabbos chayav in Allah, Shabbos chayav in Allah b'yomtiv. Anything that you are chayav alav, anything that you're not supposed to do, either because of a derabbanon, either because it's driven by a derabbanan, or it's driven by something optional, or it's driven by a mitzvah on Shabbos, chayav and alav biyamtiv. The Eluheim, so what are we talking about? Mishum shvos. What are the things that are mishum shvos? La'olim be'ilon. You're not allowed to climb a tree, right? You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to climb a tree on yantiv. And the Gemara will say why. V'lo roch v'nagav mehema. You're not allowed to ride an animal. V'lo shatan apnei amayim. You're not allowed to swim. V'lo mitapchin, v'lo misafkin, and you're not v'lo markidin. You're not allowed to clap. You're not allowed to bang your thigh, and you're not allowed to dance. The Elohei mishum rishus. So those are the things that are asmid rabbanon, because they're gzeira. The Elohei mishum rishus. These are things that are more mishum rishus. Lo donin, v'lo makdishin, v'lo chotzin, v'lo miyavnin. We don't make Dinei Torah on Shabbos. We're not Mekadosh women on Shabbos. We don't do Chalitza on Shabbos. We don't do Yibam on Shabbos. Be'eloi Mishum Mitzvah. These are the things that one would want to do Mishum Mitzvah that we don't do on Shabbos either. Lo Makdishin. We're not Mekadosh things to the Beis HaMikdash. Lo Ma'arichin. We don't commit the value of Erchin. Lo Machrimin. Other types of Hegdish. Lo Magbin. Shuma Meiser. Kol Elu. All these things. The Yom Tov Omru Kavachomer B'Shabbos. The Yom Tov and their Aser Kavachomer B'Shabbos. Ein Ben Yom Tov L'Shabbos. There's no difference in Yom Tov and Shabbos. Ela Ochel Nefesh Bavad. Only Ochel Nefesh. La'ol Be'ilon. What's the reason why you can't climb a tree on Shabbos? Gzeres Shem Yitlosh. Because maybe you'll grab off a branch to help. La'roch Ben Agabi Behema. You can't ride on a Behema. Gzeres Shem Yatzach Chutz L'Tchum. You might go outside the Tchum. Shema Mino Tchum in Doraisa. That sounds like Tchum in Doraisa. You're making Gzeres Shema. You'll go outside the Tchum. No, Alexeira Shema Yichatech Zemura. No, maybe you'll break off a branch and use that to rush them along. And you can't swim in the water. Why? Gzeira Shema Yaseh Chavius Shel Shaitan. You might make out of a barrel a type of floating tube. Why can't you clap and dance on Shabbos? Gzeira Shema Yitakin Klishir. Because you might go ahead and make a musical instrument. Okay, stop.
When it's a